This is part two, and we have recorded both of these sessions, and they will be available for you. We'll provide that information on an email. We anticipate it'll be available April 8th. While we're waiting to get started here, feel free to go ahead and answer the polling questions that are up. We want to get your feedback on if you're doing telehealth at the current time and if you have interest in doing things and learning more about telehealth. We're really excited because we had about 260 people join the call on the 17th, so it does show people are interested in reaching out and doing more with our veterans in the home using telehealth. If you look on the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see that there is closed captioning occurring, and this will be available later to post on TMS. We also have a chat box where it says Home Interdisciplinary Telerehab. It's in your bottom right-hand corner. You can use that box at any time to type in questions during the call today. We'll get started, I think, Rich, with the slides. So again, welcome everybody to the Home Interdisciplinary Telerehab Team, and we've called this HIT. You do have to join by Adobe Connect, and all of the audio is from your speakers at your computer. Just a quick mention that the funding was provided by the Office of Rural Health for this project. It was facilitated by the Rehabilitation and Prosthetics Services and collaboration with the University of Pittsburgh Rehab Engineering. And it is aligned with the Blueprint for Excellence. And a special thanks to the Des Moines VAMC for serving as the pilot site. And you are going to have the opportunity to hear them speak more today. The agenda for March 17th covered most of the agenda, focusing on the background of the pilot project, the three telehealth technology options for the home, how to capture your workload, a quick review of the steps, and then some of the outcome from Des Moines. Today, the session is going to focus on the actual home evaluation using telehealth technology, and then the Des Moines team is going to give us their suggestions and input from what they've currently been doing. And then we'll wrap up with trying to answer some of your questions that come in from the comment box. This project was titled Feasibility for Standardized Home Environmental Physical Assessment and Assistive Technology Rehab, and as I mentioned earlier, funded by the Rural Health. And these are the individuals that were involved in helping in the background of the project. And I know you'll recognize the names Mark Haverin, the physical therapy lead, Deb, our occupational therapy lead, and myself, Nan, the speech pathology discipline lead. And then also all of our University of Pittsburgh staff that helped to coordinate and organize the program. So without too much further ado here, I'm going to turn it out now over to Carl, who is our graduate research student at the University of Pittsburgh, and he helped to plan and organize the presentation today. So, Carl, I'll turn it over to you now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. As you heard, this presentation will be about a specific case study that my peers and I performed. We have a number of pictures and videos that we'll be getting into. Now, relating back to the presentation that was on March 17th, this was one of the slides from Nan's presentation. Reason I start off with this is because you can see there are three basically different ways of performing these telehealth services, and this one in the middle, which is clinical video telehealth, or CVT, is the technique that we used. And as I said, that will be demonstrated more in our pictures and videos. So the assessment we did that I'm presenting on today was based off of this checklist that my peers and I developed, which was based on a literature review from a number of different sources, a number of the Veterans Administration handbooks. We involved, obviously, clinical expertise here at the University of Pittsburgh, as well as in the Veterans Administration. We used Live at Home Pro, which is a home assessment tool developed by VGM Forbin, and kind of combined that into this main checklist, which you can see on the right side. Those are the main bullet points, but if you would like to see the more in-depth checklist, you're welcome to contact me. Of course, we have contact information at the end of the presentation here. And this link at the bottom left-hand corner, rstce.pitt.edu/VARHA, that will have a number of resources as well, including the full videos from our assessment. Our videos are just shorter snippets, maybe about a minute long each, but if you would like to see the full thing, you can visit that website, and in a few days we'll have more resources up there. As I said, the checklist on the right side covers an entire home assessment, but as you can see at the bottom, it is important to prioritize the sections and rooms where you perform this. These, obviously, everyone's very busy, and clinicians do not necessarily have time to perform all of these, so you can prioritize the areas that are most important to you and what you'd like to do. So this before the visit information was mostly covered and during the presentation 2 weeks ago, things like working out the billing codes, figuring out the pre-flight checklist, reserving your vehicle, confirming your technology setup, and confirming the appointment, obviously all needs to be covered before the actual visit. But one thing that we wanted to mention, this last two bullet points here, are establish your emergency procedures like emergency phone numbers and determine what the specific goals of the assessment are. Of course, that should be done before you actually get anywhere near the assessment itself. So now we're going to get into our model presentation itself. This picture on the right is our model client. He is a 56-year-old veteran with Parkinson's disease. He has some balance issues and some vision difficulties, so those are the things that we're going to be addressing during the assessment. You can see in the bottom left, he walks with a cane, lives in his townhouse with his son. He is a former retired university administrator, and he likes to be involved in the community. So those are some priorities that we did consider specific to this case. Here's our model team. On the left side, you can see Dr. Mark Schmaler, who was our remote occupational therapist. I am in the top right corner. I worked as the TCT, or the telehealth clinical technician, and then a fellow grad student, Vince, in the bottom right, played the role of the client's son and primary caretaker. So his role in the home will also come up during the assessment. So now we're going to get into it. Before we do, though, I will break this down. You can see on the left side we have general considerations, and on the right side we have information about the model case itself. That's how the next few slides are going to be broken down. All of the general consideration on the left will be directly from that checklist that we developed, and the specifics, videos, pictures, and whatnot, will be on the right side, and that will be for our model case. So you can see the general considerations at this point would be make sure you consider your geography, like if you're in a rural or urban environment type of residence. So that would be, is it something like a mobile home, or is it a townhouse or a standalone building? If you want to evaluate the exterior, you can see these pictures on the right have us looking at a step to enter the front of the home. There are some potholes and things outside the building, and those are all exterior factors that you would want to evaluate. Also consider your transportation, like taking a bus, driving a car, or how the client would be able to get around outdoors. So you can see, again, those pictures on the right cover some of the outdoor that we've looked at even before entering the client's home. So really the first step as far as interaction goes is introducing yourself at the door. In this case, you can see this picture on the right. I, the TCT, introduced myself to Vince, who was the client's son. It's good to establish or consider what the relationship of the individual at the door is to the client, and obviously be polite and consider the home culture before entering. So this is where we do have our first video. Now, before I jump over to that, we do have a couple housekeeping things as far as videos. One of them would be all of the videos will load on your specific machine based on your individual internet. So if those are loading slowly, that's not necessarily like an Adobe Connect issue. That could just be your internet, so just be patient with that. The audio will also play through your personal speakers, and bearing that in mind, if you are on the conference call with us today, please mute your conference line so that we don't get any kind of feedback. So I'm going to jump to our first video here, which, like I said, these are not quite a minute long each, and the first one is the TCT introducing himself to the client. All right, moving on from that, the next step is, of course, to introduce yourself to the client themselves. You can see this picture on the right is the TCT interacting with Joe, our model client. If you look at that picture also, you can see in the background, we do have our virtual therapist is there, and we have a video here of the therapist introducing himself and kind of establishing the relationship with the client. This is also when you would want to make sure you confirm verbal consent and explain the general telehealth process. The last bullet point on the bottom left there is another kind of reference to our presentation on March 17th, where we talked about three different communication techniques that can be used with the client. We use this one in the middle, which is the client's desktop, laptop, or tablet device installed with Jabber, which is a software which you may be familiar with, sort of like a Skype or any kind of video conferencing software. So we'll go ahead and jump to this video, and you can hear how the client is, or the therapist introduces himself and interacts with the client. All right, so you can see that's sort of how the general introduction was performed. Basically, it's like any other assessment, obviously, except, as Mark said, you can service more clients virtually, which is basically the purpose of telehealth in the first place. So the first thing, as with any assessment, you want to figure out some of the ADL and IADLs that the client is able to do or may need some assistance with. Some other specific information would be figuring out sort of what their history with mobility is, what assistive technology they use, if they have any history of falls, and then a discussion of leisure interests, because obviously that helps you best serve your client and meet their priorities. So in this case, we just talked about the individual's ADL status and IADL status with what he is and is not really prepared to do at home so we can address his needs. Now getting into more specific assessments, some of the things, general things you would want to look at are here on the left, like looking at the individual's balance, strength, figuring out their gait abilities. And the note in the bottom right there is that these assessments can be performed to the TCT's level of training. So an example would be manual muscle testing, which is generally performed by an occupational therapist. If the TCT is not trained or prepared to perform that test, then it would not be appropriate to do that, and you would need to find some other manner of assessing the individual's strength. Two assessments on the left there, the MoCA, Montreal Cognitive Assessment, and the SLUMS exam, St. Louis University Mental Status. Those were mentioned in the presentation on March 17th, sort of as more specific examples, so I did want to include those in some examples that you would want to perform. And at this point, this is when the TCT would decide if this visit would continue, obviously deciding whether or not it would be worth continuing with, and in that case, moving on to additional assessments. In the case of our model presentation, We did perform the FMA, or functional mobility assessment. In this case, one of the TCT's jobs would be to hand out these physical copies or the paperwork so that the client would be best able to perform this assessment. And in our specific case, the client did score a 24 out of 60, which indicates that he is dissatisfied with his current mobility. So that highlights some of the things that we do need to address. Two other main assessments that we performed were the timed up and go and the stair climbs test. We do have a video here just demonstrating how the timed up and go test would operate in real life. So you will be able to see we're set up here in a hallway, and the TCT is just going to assist in performing this assessment. All right, so you just were able to see how the TCT, him or herself, does not necessarily perform the assessments, but they do assist to make sure that the remote therapist can perform the assessments to the best level possible. So now we get into our room-by-room evaluation. You can see the specific areas on this left side, and it is worth noting that based on how the client's house is laid out or based on your priorities during the assessment, this order can change, and you can spend more or less time in the different areas based on the priorities of your assessment and the priorities that you'd like to cover with your client. So the first area here was partially covered during our timed up and go. This hallway in the picture on the left is actually that hallway where we performed the timed up and go. And then you can see on the right, this is the main staircase where we performed our stair climb test. Some other general considerations to address would be, what are the dimensions of the walking space? So can the client navigate those spaces safely? What general tripping hazards would there be? Are they able to use doorknobs or levers? And what is the lighting kind of situation to make sure the client can easily access that? Now, specifically in our stair climb test, we had about 2 minutes ascending and 2 minutes descending, so that does indicate a stair glide. Reason I mention that is just one of the sort of model things that we prescribed for the client, which will come up later in the presentation. So now getting to the first real room of the assessment, we do have the bedroom. Here it's important to evaluate surfaces and any of the tripping hazards you might have. So that would be things like if you have a really heavy carpet, it would be more difficult for the client to walk around. How easy is it for them to access their lighting? And what is their ability to perform ADLs as well as IADLs? So IADLs would be something like laundry. ADLs, of course, would be like dressing themselves. So as you can see on the right, we do have our model client demonstrating sort of how he moves around his room. And this is a pretty important video, which I'll show you, which really demonstrates how the TCT, you can see standing there holding a tablet. And the video will demonstrate how the TCT would walk around the room to sort of give the remote therapist a virtual tour, so to speak, of the room itself. So we'll go to that video now.
Hello?
All right, so you could see generally how that worked, and then you also saw at the end of that video the TCT was headed into the bathroom. Obviously, we know a lot of falls happen in the bathroom, so general considerations would be things like toileting, hygiene, so access to the sink and other reaching surfaces, bathing as far as getting in and out of the shower or the bathtub, floor and surfaces, obviously for falls, and just general usability of other things like the faucet or the shower head. So some pictures you can see here actually highlight some of the really unsafe things that we saw in this model case. Picture on the left is the client getting ready to step into the shower, and he's holding onto this shower bar along the top, which is obviously that's not a safe handhold because that could slip. And then this picture on the right is the client standing up or sitting down from the toilet and also using this towel rod, which is not considered to be a really safe thing either. And obviously you would want to consider, in often cases, clients will have more than one bathroom. So this picture in the top right is just a general shot of a smaller powder room bathroom where you would want to consider a lot of the same issues. Now getting into the kitchen, obviously you want to look more into the IADLs, which would be things like your meal prep, your cleaning, and your storage. So that highlights some reaching abilities that the client may or may not have depending on those different surfaces. So we have a video here that talks about some of the client's food prep, and we will go to that now. All right, so you saw that there were a lot of unsafe cases for the use of the kitchen, and we will try our best to address those during the assessment and then the follow-up. Next up, we have the living room. Obviously, there's more tripping hazards here. These two pictures you can see in particular, there is a step to enter, and there's also a pretty heavy carpet you can see on this left side picture here. This would also be a time to bring up some of the priorities of the client. If they tell you that they spend a majority of their time watching television, you would want to consider if they are able to use their remotes and other technology to the best of their use. So in the model case, we did talk about the use of that technology, possibly removing that rug, maybe upgrading to a seat lift chair, and just being aware of that step to enter, maybe installing a grab bar to help the client get in and out of that room. Going along with that technology, we do have some communication and connectivity access. As you remember, our model client was a retired university administrator, and he likes to use the computer to be involved in his community. So some other things to consider just in general would be, how is your client able to access the phone, use their cell phone, if they have a computer or a tablet device, how well can they access the Wi-Fi, and what visual or physical challenges might present themselves to accessing that technology. Like I said, in the model case, using the computer is a priority, so you'll see later we did make some prescriptions in order to help him use his computer and tablet devices. Next, we're stepping outdoors, so sort of getting towards the end of our assessment. General things to consider would just be your basic mobility. How is the client able to get around in their community? What steps as far as egresses do they have? And what kind of security systems do they have in terms of safety? This would also be where you want to consider what the client's current use of assistive technology is, and if you are considering prescribing them with more assistive technology to be used outdoors, you would obviously want to make sure that they are educated on the use for those devices properly. going along with outdoors, it's very important to discuss transportation, like if the client tries to drive themselves, or do they use a bus, or do they use access. You can ask them, of course, how often they leave the home and how and why they do that, and in order to discover some of the ways that you may be able to make that better for the client. So as far as our specific model case here, during the transportation section of the functional mobility assessment, our client scored a 2 out of 6, indicating that he was mostly dissatisfied with his ability to use personal or public transportation. And he said he did have difficulty leaving home to do pretty basic things like access a grocery store or do anything like that in his community. So those are things that we highlighted during our assessment to try to fix. One of the last things to make sure you consider are just a discussion of your emergency plan with the client, like how would they be able to contact friends or family in the case of an emergency? What are some of the house's issues as far as potential electrical or water hazards? Do they have any smoke alarms, and are those just properly serviced to protect the client? So now we're going to get into sort of the follow-up that we did with our model client. This would be, before you leave the home, you would just have a discussion about some of the things that you would want to do with your client as far as referrals or assistive technology. That would be like discussing with them potentially getting a personal care attendant to reduce the burden on friends and family, talking about specific assistive technology. If the TCT does have some devices that he or she brought with them for the assessment, you could do some minor device trials. We don't have any videos of that, but an example would be if the TCT were to bring something like a Rollator, they could have the client try using that just to see how that would work with them. In our model case, we did refer the client to physical therapy, speech-language pathology. We referred them to have some home modifications done. We did have a mobility assessment in order to get them a wheelchair for obviously improved mobility. We had them referred for a computer access exam, and we recommended additional attendant care for them to reduce the burden on the model client's son, who is currently his primary caregiver. So this is pretty simple. After the visit, you just want to make sure you complete your documentation, schedule your follow-up assessment, and make sure you gather all the devices that you would need for the delivery. So now we're getting into the assistive technology devices that we prescribed for our model client. This is a pretty long list here, but we are going to pretty quickly go room by room just to make sure we give enough examples of some of the best devices you would be able to prescribe for your client. So first up here, we have the bedroom. These two pictures on the right demonstrate or show that the client could use a reacher. He uses a Rollator for mobility throughout really his entire house, and he does have some dressing aids that could have been prescribed to him through occupational therapy. So we'll jump to a video here in which the client will demonstrate how these devices make it a lot easier to complete some activities of daily living. All right, so it is important to note that the remote therapist was present during that follow-up assessment. the TCT was holding that tablet device so that the remote therapist would obviously be involved in making sure that all those follow-up devices and modifications are working adequately. So next up, of course, we go into the bathroom. Here you can see the client is using his Rollator to have better access to the sink for things like brushing his teeth and shaving. We did remove one of the bath mats, which was here in front of the sink, but we did leave the second one in order to catch some of the runoff, which would be caused by this transfer bench, which the individual uses to get in and out of his shower. We also do have a raised toilet seat, obviously to help the client get on and off the toilet. So those are just some examples of things that we provided for this specific client to help him get around and accomplish those ADLs. Now for general mobility, we have the Rollator, which we discussed earlier, and we also talked about getting this individual a stair glide to help get him up and down the stairs in his home. We did, in this case, prescribe two Rollators. One of them would be on the main floor of the home where the kitchen and the living room is, and the other one would be upstairs to help him get around some hallways, bedrooms, and bathrooms. Here we're back in the kitchen. You can see in this picture again, the virtual therapist is present on that tablet device. And we actually have another video here demonstrating how the client is better able to prepare his food based on some of the modifications we performed. All right. Next up, just some general things about the living room. We did talk about removing the rug, potentially providing a larger remote, and having some kind of a seatless lift chair just to help the client get around his living room more easily. Next up, we do have a slide on computer access. You can see in the picture here, we do have a high contrast monitor and some high contrast keyboards. This helps the client reach his priority of being more involved in the community and using his computer more adequately. If you do remember at the very beginning of the case presentation, we did talk about how this client, both related and unrelated to his Parkinson's diagnosis, does have some visual issues. So in this case, we had to address both physical and visual issues to suit the client. Next up, we're going outdoors. You can see in these pictures, the TCT is walking around just to take a look at how the client gets around outdoors. We have some videos here to demonstrate more about how that works, but two things to keep an eye on. We do use the door levers to help the client get around, and we also provided him with a garage door opener just to help him get in and out of his garage more easily. So we actually have two videos here, and they're both a little bit shorter, so I'll go ahead and play those now. So that just demonstrated how one specific home modification of providing door levers rather than door knobs helps the client get in and out of his garage and other spaces. So clearly the client is a lot more able to get around outdoors than he would have been without these mobility devices. And we have one last video coming up that he'll discuss a little bit more how he's able to accomplish just his daily routine based on those modifications. So here kind of to wrap up, you can see we do have his time one versus time two functional mobility assessment. There on the left, you can see he scored a 24 out of 60. And then on the right side, this FMA assessment would have been performed during the follow-up. You can see a lot of these did go up to, actually all of them went up to fives and sixes. And in particular, you can see some of the specific ones that really exceeded the expectations going all the way up to a six. So there were greatly improved scores. And like I said, we'll jump to this last video here in which the client does discuss a little bit more anecdotally about how these have performed his daily improved his daily activities. Okay, so hopefully that was a good demonstration of how, in a specific example, we could really help an individual client out using clinical video telehealth and just telehealth in general. So this last slide here is the contact information of our team here at the University of Pittsburgh. I'm here at the top, Carl Kemmerer, and that's my email. If you would like to see the checklist that we used, you can follow that link. Or we will have the other videos in full available online. So if you just hang tight, we'll be able to get those resources to you as well. So thanks for tuning in. I'm going to pass things off back to Nan, and we will continue with the rest of the presentation.
Thanks so much, Carl, for that wonderful review of all the steps that we have talked about through the home eval. Before I turn it over to Mark, I do see that there's lots of comments about what you may have observed in the screen about the safety of devices. But one of the things we want to emphasize is how important it is to do a follow-up visit, not to just give a device, but to make sure that you actually follow up with the patient and see how they're using it functionally, and telehealth is one of those ways. And I'm going to turn it over to Mark Havern now, who's going to introduce the team after he speaks. But that, and they are going to highlight some of the benefits that they have learned and secrets they have found out that help are helpful in doing telehealth visits. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, Nan. So I'm Mark Havern from VA Central Iowa, and our we were able to pilot, and you'll hear a little bit about this, and looking at some of the questions in the box, what you'll be seeing is where the first session was uploaded with on the University of Pittsburgh site, and you'll hear about that later. To go back and look at that, and you'll be able to see some of the great outcomes that the team has put together and why it has been beneficial. So, Nan, if you want to, or somebody, I guess I can move the slide, can't I? So the pilot team is embedded into our home-based primary care specialty PACT here in Central Iowa. And so our PACT mission is stated here. Our HBPC mission is to provide a comprehensive, interdisciplinary primary care in the homes of veterans with complex medical, social, and behavioral conditions for whom routine clinic-based care is not effective. And again, the ultimate goal is to maximize function, minimize institutionalization, and maintain the quality of life of the veteran. For those of you who may not be aware, the Office of Geriatrics and Extended Care has recently published Handbook 1140.11, and that is the Uniform Geriatrics and Extended Care Services in VA Medical Centers and Clinics. And it does a great job explaining what's mandated, what's not. And home-based primary care is a mandated program. And so what we've done is, based on your facility's resources and who's a part of the team, we really encourage you to look not only at the Uniform Geriatrics and Extended Care Handbook, but also the Home-Based Primary Care Program Handbook, which is 1141.01. And so that will help you decide how and what you can do locally, especially given the resources that you have. So our HBPC interdisciplinary team consists of providers, nursing, pharmacy, psychology, dietary, social work, PT, OT, and speech-language pathology. And within this is our telehealth opportunities as well. The programs that are kind of under the purview, not only are the primary care that's given in the home, but also medical foster home, contracting nursing home oversight, adult day health care, homemaker home health aid, caregiver support, and care in community for purchase skilled care. So it's a very dynamic, it's a very comprehensive team, and they meet regularly, and they do an awesome job. So within the state of Iowa, there's 99 counties, and this is Polk County, and our main hub of our medical center is located in Des Moines, and this red line that you see is usually the driving radius that the team will drive out to see folks in. And so the question is, why is this, where are we at with giving people into the homes and on that type of thing? And you're going to see on this next slide, this is the state of Iowa. You're going to see the kind of the highlighted black line across all the different counties and parts of Missouri. This is our facilities coverage area. And so Polk County is right in the middle. And so with this pilot program and with the services that are provided by the whole team, we have been able to expand our coverage area. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Don Hayes, Kristen Ganfield, and Whitney Welt as they took part in this from a therapy standpoint. Thank you very much. Don, you're up.
Hi, this is Kristen Ganfield from Occupational Therapy at the Des Moines VA, and I'm actually going to be talking first for the first couple of slides. I'm here with Don Hayes, who is our telehealth PT, and Whitney Welp, who is our speech therapist, who is doing telehealth. Some of the advantages that we have found is that we are actually able to see the home environment, which we might not have seen had we done the visit, I guess, in the clinic. We also here at Central Iowa have a lot of parking issues, as well as many veterans who drive far distances to come see us. We also have found that it's a lot more convenient for not only the patient, but also us as the providers, and we're also able to improve our prescription of the appropriate adaptive equipment or assistive technologies during these visits, and it helps us to get a view of what they're actually needing in the home rather than just having them come into the clinic and them explaining it. It's easier to actually put a hand on what they're really needing, because sometimes they don't necessarily know when they come into the clinic what they're looking for. We also are able to reach a lot of rural veterans, as Mark has explained with the map, and then our consult to visit date has significantly reduced, meaning that a lot of times with our outpatient clinics, it is hard to get in, but with us traveling to the veteran, we're able to see them a lot sooner. The challenges we've had with the CBT, of course, is technology. Both availability and connectivity, and when the technology doesn't work, it's an issue. We have great techs who can work on the equipment and try to figure out different ways, such as connecting to the patient's Wi-Fi. It's a secure line for doing that. The other challenge we have are having the telepresenters do all of our hands-on work. It's different than actually being there to provide whatever tasks we're needing them to do. We're not able to have our hands on the patients. Also, we have a lot of information that we need to get to the techs, And if we don't do that in a timely fashion, it can affect the visit as well.
Hi, this is Don Hayes. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the physical therapy part of things. You know, the big thing I would tell you to keep in mind is a visit by telehealth or by CVT, it should really mirror an outpatient or a home visit. From the veteran's perspective, there really shouldn't be any discernible difference, even if the therapist knows that there are some things that you can do and some things that just aren't going to work in that environment. So along those lines, you know, some things you can do, goniometry, for example. I know there was actually a study done where they did goniometry on knee flexion and extension and using photographs, and they actually found it to be more reliable than in person. And we'll talk about a little bit about how to do that later on, or different ways you can do it. Another thing to keep in mind when you're dealing with special populations especially is on the tablets and on the TES unit, and the TCTs also carry on some equipment, but you can get those vital signs. You can get blood pressure, heart rate, and pulse ox. And as I talked about, you know, as far as tests and tools go, you have to be a little creative as a physical therapist because you are taking your own hands out of it, and so you need tests and tools that don't require your hands-on. So, for instance, a Tinetti test wouldn't work because of the perturbation in there. You can't have the tech doing that because you're not going to know how hard they pushed and all those kinds of things. So that's just something to keep in mind. But there are also many other tests that you can use. So it's not really a limitation as much as it is an opportunity to become more creative. The TCT or telepresenter, those terms are really interchangeable. For that first visit for PT, they're in the home with me, and so they're able to do any of the safety things they need. So like when I'm testing balance, they have their gait belt there, and so they would always have that on if they were doing a timed up and go or any other sort of balance test in there, just to make sure that person's safe. On this slide, I just kind of had this one in there to kind of give you some ideas of what I do. You know, we say suggestions, but really it's just kind of how I've approached it. But there are many other ways to do it too. I've used the two-minute step test for a lot of activity tolerance things, but we also know you could use the two-minute test, two-minute walk test, or the six-minute walk test. It's whatever works for that patient and for the therapist. Strength, again, you can't really do the manual muscle testing outside of plantar flexion, but you do have like a 30-second chair rise or the chair rise five times, any of those kind of options. Balance, again, not going to go through all the different tests that are available, but you can see there's a few of them right there. I often like to use the four-square test in there. Gait speed, you can do that, and I'll kind of talk about that along the lines in the next slide with talking about the timed up and go. But also, you can see there are deviations in there. You can adjust the height of the walk or assistive device. Make sure they're using it correctly. For vestibular, you know, VOR, it's kind of hard to do the times one by itself, but you can do a DVA instead, the dynamic visual acuity in there. There are a lot of different tests you can do. I haven't done it yet as a treatment, but for somebody with BPPV, you know, we couldn't do the epley on them, but there's that Foster maneuver from the University of Colorado that could be used possibly. So, again, you just have to kind of keep educating yourself on different things. Ortho, there's any number of different tests in there. Again, some of them aren't going to be available to you, anything where you're having to apply pressure on somebody, but others are. So it's just about using what you feel comfortable with. Here, I kind of go into some other functional tests in there, too, for special populations. But, again, it's just finding the test that works for you. With the timed up and go, and we'll talk about this, I guess, I said on this slide, but it's really on the next slide, some equipment you could use for that so you have a real specific distance in there. Obviously, all the paper and pencil tests are available, you know, upper extremity functional scale, lower extremity, all these kind of things, the WOMAC. They could be good tests to give while things are getting set up, have the patient fill that out. That way, when you start the test, you've got that, just another way to track progress in there. Here, in terms of having a kit, it's just kind of equipment ideas. Some of these things I've sure used. Others are just ideas and things that I've read about. The rope for the timed up and go, it actually works because, again, you can use it for the gait speed also. You know, you could have like 15-foot of rope, mark off a 10-foot, you know, chunk of that, and that way you've got your tug in there. Plus, you can do your gait speed at the same time. Having the PVC with the four-way connector, that's going to work for your four-square test. You know, the steps are the seated step test. It's not one that I've used, but if you had somebody that couldn't stand and you still wanted to check out their activity tolerance, it's a good test. The Snell and Eye chart, of course, for the dynamic visual acuity. You know, the one I'd kind of draw your attention to is the stickers for goniometry. Like I said, you can do goniometry like this. What you can always do, again, is educate that TCT, that telepresenter, to the bony landmarks in there and have them put stickers on. And that way you've got your markers set up and you can just put your goniometer up to the screen to get the measurements in there you need. And the techs are more than capable of learning the bony landmarks and the areas to put those stickers on. Same thing with the FlexiCurve. It's not one that I've used, but, you know, if you had somebody who was really kyphotic or lordotic, you could always use that if you had it available to you. And you could either, A, you know, have them show the screen of that. You could put some paper up to your screen and trace that. Or they could even take that picture of it or trace it on a piece of paper themselves. And then you'd have that available for yourself, again, to just track progress in there. So as far as therapy goes, physical therapy goes, there are many things you can do. You just kind of have to find that way to achieve the goals that you want to for that person. So with that said, I'll turn it back over to Kristen for occupational therapy.
As the video showed, there for the home safety evals, there are a lot of ways that we can do that. One of the ways that I've utilized it is to do more, I guess, exploration in what kind of MME equipment they need or the HISA grant requests. For pictures, my techs are able to take pictures. We have a facility camera that they can use, and then I'm able to get those pictures much quickly to then present at the prosthetics meeting, MME meetings. So it has decreased the time significantly for getting them approved and then also being able to allow the veterans to get their work done on the HISA grant stuff. Also, I've used it for ADL evaluations, adaptive equipment education, transfer training, some basic wheelchair evals. I probably wouldn't do the higher level wheelchair evals, but some of the basic ones. I've also done it for the catastrophic disability evaluations, as well as home exercise programs for upper extremities. Some of the tests that I've used is the SLUMS, also the MOCA, and then the short cognitive performance test, or the CPT, short CPT, or the CPT screen. With that, we use that test a lot in the clinic, but we can also use it in the home as long as we call it a screen or a short CPT. If we take the TOAST subtest out, so it does give you an idea still of where they're functioning at cognitively. Also, we're able to use the patient-specific functional scale or the fear of falling. And I guess for me, the home safety has been the biggest thing that I have done. Kind of like what the video showed, I just did not quite as much in one visit, but you could do multiple visits to assess multiple areas. And with that, I'll turn it over to Whitney from Speech Therapy.
Hi, everyone. My name is Whitney Welp, and like Kristen said, I'm the speech therapist at the Des Moines VA, who does telehealth therapy and a lot of other therapies. I'm going to start by just going into some treatment ideas. So definitely we'd start with, it can be implemented in a lot of different areas of speech therapy. Definitely there's a couple that couldn't, but a lot of them can, and it really does fit itself well to speech therapy, as we are not as hands-on as the other therapists. So I'd start first with a cognitive eval or a language eval, and I can definitely send my eval with my TCTs, and then any follow-up exercises, any worksheets, anything like that, I would send with them. And then if something should happen, I know if the veteran can't hear me for some reason, then they do have that on hand and they can kind of clarify. As far as motor speech, kind of the same idea. specifically with that, if they do have a tablet, there is a place you can share on the tablet, and you could share things like sentences, syllables you want them to use for motor speech, things like that. Then with the voice, definitely sending the exercises again, and having that tablet there so you can hear them, hear the way they talk and just different things like that. With swallowing, that's where I'm going to say probably not doing an eval in tablet form or with the TES, just because they don't have as much capability. So what I would do is the initial assessment would be here at the clinic, and it would be, you know, a video fluoro or a clinical, and that would be in person. I know with speech therapy, with that palpating, I'm not going to have my techs do it, although they're really experienced, but not specifically in that. So we'd start with the evaluation. Any follow-ups, I would send consistencies with the TCTs, or I would send exercises, swallowing exercises with them as well. So that works out pretty well. Specifically, I'm going to talk to you about a little bit today is the Lee Silverman voice treatment. If for those of you who don't know, it's a voice program for individuals with Parkinson's disease. It's a pretty intense treatment. So it's 4 times a week for 4 weeks. So this is very difficult to maintain in the facility. These people would have to travel pretty far. Some of our veterans, our farthest away would be 2 to 2.5, 3 hours, and that's just not something they can do. So we get a tablet, we bring it into their home, and we do the Lee Silverman voice treatment that way. So definitely greater flexibility, and then we can keep that consistent therapy schedule. And then, so these are just some strategies we had to enhance the program. So we can use apps, and what you can do is if they do have a tablet, you can call in and say, can you add this app to their tablet, and they can do that for conditions or home exercises so they can learn some more information. Another idea was a handheld manual, a muscle tester or a body-worn motion detector. So both of these connected to a computer, so we have that feedback. That would be more physical therapy, but it also provides the feedback from the tablet. And then the last idea was creating a mentorship program. So sometimes our veterans are kind of nervous about technology or they're not sure about it. So if we have someone who's already been in the program and says this really works out really well, they might be more likely to participate. So our next slide is about research. So really this program, you know, could do research in any area because all we would have to do would be compare results from typical therapy to therapy that we're doing via the TVC to home. So then we put some examples on there, though. So occupational therapy, compliance with ADL equipment, physical therapy, fall reduction, and then speech pathology, LSVT. And then so some hints for success, interdisciplinary team approach, communication among the team, those really go hand in hand. So the therapist talking with each other, the therapist talking to their TCTs, making sure that they know what equipment they need, what tests they need for specific patients, what telehealth equipment they need, things like that. It's all about communication for that. And, of course, the tests and equipment are patient-specific. And then, as we already talked about before, but our telepresenter will need that training and education regarding rehabilitation. And so there is our contact information. Feel free to contact us anytime. And I think that's all. Nan, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Thank you so much to the Des Moines team, Kirsten, Don, Whitney. And you've seen Jeremy writing some notes on there, Mark, and the entire team for spending so much time and really coming up with helpful hints and how to do a successful home visit. And I think one of the things for the rehab providers is to be careful in selecting which tool you use and picking which telehealth equipment you're going to use. Similar to selecting an augmentative communication device or an assistive device in the home. I think we're just about out of time. I do want to tell everybody that we are going to take all of your questions that have been listed both for this call and for the call on the 17th, and we're going to have a fact sheet available with all the questions and answers listed on it. And we will have a recording on a website for the 17th for this presentation and also for all of the video clips that you saw Carl present today. Please take a moment to answer the polling questions if you're interested in being a future pilot site. If you would like to list your name at the bottom, in the comment box, we'd be happy to contact you later. And again, I'd like to thank everyone for your participation. There were some fantastic questions. And thanks to the team, both University of Pittsburgh and Des Moines, for doing a great review of the home evaluation and a lot of their helpful hints. And thank you very much.